Exhausting meditations. How could we ever have an exhausting meditation? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Exhausting meditations. What could be an exhausting meditation? Well, have you ever had so many things you wanted to treat for? So many things you wanted to speak your word for, so many things you wanted to meditate upon. And as you have these so many things, oh, I want to meditate upon the health of my dear beloved, my husband, my wife, my family, my world, my people, something that someone's asked me for. Oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, when we do that, we have an exhausting meditation. It seems to just leave us all wrung out when we're done. We don't feel good. We don't feel peaceful. We don't feel relaxed. We don't feel open. Now, we tell people, let go and let God. We tell people that when they're seeking something, they should quietly seek it and not seek it necessarily, just seek to be open to it. Seek to be able to recognize it when it happens, when it comes into your awareness. Many people have the answers to problems that they seek, and it comes right into their awareness, but they are not aware of it because they think it's too simple or it's such an obnoxious answer. If we would just look at things and say, well, now let's see, if I were to look at this from a different point of view, what might I think about it? If I might look at this from a point of view that is completely different from what I've looked at it for in all this time, how would I look at it now? And then I'd say to myself, okay, I'm going to meditate upon my good health. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And I keep saying that, and I keep saying that. And it sort of wearies me because I don't understand it. I don't really know what I'm doing. I merely know I'm saying something that is beneficial, perhaps, and positive, perhaps. But I don't really know what I'm doing. And I just say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. When I say I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I'm alive. And my ideal spirit, mind, and body are pretty nice. But then we fall back into yet another point. We're sort of promoting our spiritual mind and body, promoting that sort of thing. And then we start saying, I like me. I like me. I like me. And when I say I like me, I'm not thinking of my spirit, mind, and body. I'm not thinking of being ideal. I just think, hey, I like me. This morning as I was doing my inversion exercise, I was upside down, and Rex, my big golden retriever, crawled right in where my head was. And he liked to be there. And, of course, being upside down and my head right next to his head, I was cuddling him a little bit. And I was saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. And then I thought, gee, if I want to get up, I can't get up because he's in my way. I can't swing back up because he's in my way. And the more I thought about, I can't get up if he's in my way, the more anxious I became about getting up and being able to get up and being able to do that comfortably. And finally, I just had to push myself up and get up a moment early than I normally would, my 10 minutes, and I felt anxious. And I thought, now what is this all about? I thought, if I don't get him out of the way, I won't be able to get up, and I didn't even want to get up. But I wanted to get up because I was doing something different. I was worrying about whether I could get up or not. And because I worried about whether I could get up or not, then I was anxious, and I was not in my happy meditation. I was in a very exhausting meditation. I was in a very exhausting moment. Now, that's absolute foolishness. That's absolute foolishness because I know that I am always in charge. I know that I am always able to do anything that I want to do. I'm always able to be in charge of any experience that I want to be in charge of. But if I allow myself to be anxious at any moment, even right there while I was in my meditation, in my inversion meditation, and I was thinking happy thoughts, and I had my big lovable Rex right there saying to me, "Hey, Dad, you know, it's nice to be near you." And he takes his paw, and he pats me, and he says, "Come on, pet me some more." He says, "Love me some more." He says, "You got nothing to do hanging there except to love me." And he had only happy thoughts in his mind, and yet I had anxious thoughts in my mind. Those anxious thoughts can be totally disabling. They can be totally destructive to who and what I am, keeping me away from my ideal self, keeping me away from who and what I really am and what I really want to do. When I let go and let the divine in me reveal itself to me, I don't think a thing. I am an open vessel. I am an open mind, aware and awake to what it is that I'm concerning myself with. And being an open mind and being an open vessel to what I'm concerning myself with, what I'm concerning myself with is made known to me in perfect and wonderful divine order. It's a beautiful and a fantastic experience. And I can do it easily and wonderfully and perfectly. Now, we know this. I mean, I wasn't born yesterday, and I didn't have this as my first meditation, and I didn't have this as my first moment of anxiety when I was doing something and thinking, now can I do something else? These things happen from time to time in our lives, and every time they happen, if we give in to them, then they possess us. If I were to have just said to myself, "Okay, I'm relaxed, I am peaceful, I am not thinking about getting up right now. I was thinking about getting up only because I wasn't apparently able to get up because Rex was in the way." But if I allow myself just to remain in my peaceful attitude, when I am ready to get up, Rex will get out of the way. When I am ready to do something else, then it'll be open and available for me to do that. I will be free to do anything that I want to do. I will be free to come and go as I please. I'll be free to get up as I please. I'll be free to be handling anything. My meditation will be much more effective. To meditate means to think about. And I'm certainly thinking about things, all sorts of things, positive and negative. And when I give empowerment in my thought to the negative things, then the negative things take over and make the rule for themselves. And when I give power to the positive things, then the positive things take over. When I just love my body, and I say, "I like me, I like me, I like me," and love my body to pieces, then my body begins to say to me, "Hey, this is a nice place to be. I enjoy being in this body." The body, being in the body, that's right, because our mind is what tells our body what it is. Our mind says, "My body is balanced, my body is peaceful, my body is comfortable. I like my body, I like me, I like me." And as I say these things and meditate upon these things, that's what I experience. And then, when I'm ready to stop my meditation and go on to other things, then my body just goes on in that high state of consciousness of liking me and continuing to be a very comfortable and a very wonderful thing. This is what we all get involved in. We all get involved in the vicissitudes of life that want to take us from one point to another before oftentimes we're ready to go to the other points. How are you interested in doing whatever you want to do? Are you interested in being who you want to be? Are you interested in living the life you want to live? Are you interested in enjoying the experiences in life that you want to enjoy? Well, the best way to enjoy them is not to enjoy them. The best way to enjoy them is to pay no attention to them, but to be 100% involved in them. When I'm snuggling Rex, I'm 100% involved in loving Rex, and I don't think Rex's body is whole and perfect, my body is whole and perfect. I don't think that everything is in divine order. I don't think that everything is one way or another. I'm just having a great and wonderful hug with Rex. And when I'm done, then I go on to something else. And I don't think a thing about it. I don't think, now, can he sustain himself without my loving him and hugging him constantly 100% of the time? Can he continue to be the super guy he is without me always telling him how wonderful he is and what a great guy he is? And you see, we feel this feeling that we are indispensable to our world. And we're indispensable to our world only to be one thing, to be givers. To actually be giving, giving, giving all of the time. We give our love, we give our light, we give our health, we give our joy, we give our heart. And as we give first to ourselves, then we have the ability to give the allness to everything. And as we forgive first to ourselves and first to who we are, then all of our world is great and wonderful, and we never have exhausting meditations. We have meditations that are peaceful, relaxing, peace-giving. We give it to ourselves first. And giving to ourselves first, we have the most wonderful experience life could afford to anyone. Think on these things. It's just as simple as loving your dog, just as simple as loving yourself, just as simple as being yourself and having fun. Because that's what life is all about. Have a lovely day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.